I am so thankful to be one of his children. Amen? I mean, I do not take that for granted. I've just been just trying to feed on him and being grateful and reflecting upon all the blessings that's been in my life this week. And it's just amazing. Do you realize you could have been born and thought of at any particular time besides now? I mean, there's some people who said, I would have just loved to be able to live in the time of Jesus. And certainly it would have been great to be able to see him with our physical eyes. But he chose you. He could have put you in play as a creator at any moment in time. As far as on stage, he could have put you in play. But he chose to put you in play at this particular time. To be with this particular church, to be living in this particular time, and to say, God, how do you want to use me to bring you glory and honor? Now, we've been saying it for a long time. I've been hearing it for a long time, for over 40-some years, that Jesus is coming soon. And I believe that. There's been some that have come and gone before me that thought that they wouldn't pass before they would see the Lord's coming. Now, God didn't tell them that, all right? But they just know it's so close, and I know it's so close as well. I'll be surprised if I go to glory before, you know, if I live to the ripe old age of whatever I'm going to live to, you know. But you know, if he doesn't come back before then. But you have been given the opportunity to live in this season and to be born in America. To be here in the United States of America, what an awesome privilege. The freedoms that you have. And some of us, you know, we can look back and we can see the things that really haven't gone so well. Some of us have absolute horror stories of things that have happened that you've grown up in and have had to persevere through. But I say this to you today, you're here. Everything that is before you can be better than whatever the past ever was. Everything, anything can be restored with God. That's the message before the message. I just want you to understand something. We're believing for breakthroughs. I hope that some of you did this. I hope you brought your breakthrough cards. Who's got their breakthrough cards? Oh, I didn't make that clear. You didn't. So yeah, I see a few of them. All right, ushers. I think they're back in the back seat back there. Maybe you can hand those out to some other people who didn't get them. If you need a breakthrough card, I want you to have it right now. Where are you at right now? Who needs a breakthrough card? All right, I've got a few. Didn't get those last week. Let's hand out. We got plenty.
Three more.
Three. Oh, she's got some more for you. Here we go. You need one? There we go. And I got one more over here for Deb. Okay, they're coming. We might run out, but that's okay. We'll get you some more. Can we pray? Lord, I come to you right now, and I'm asking you to do something that cannot be done through just the words of mine alone. Lord, we need your Spirit's influence right now to take this church from all of the glorious days that we've experienced in the past into the new places. God, to experience new breakthroughs, to inhabit and to take new land, to receive and to show appreciation for the fulfillment of the promises that come to us. We're asking you, God, to do what I cannot do. If there's anybody here today who does not know you, Lord, I pray that they would recognize your love and they would see that what you've made available for them, and before this service is out today, that they will say, Jesus, I'm convinced you are the Messiah. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we've been talking about breakthrough. We've been talking about the erupting power, something within us that if we're going to have something that's going to change the landscape of things, right, that we need something similar to a volcano eruption within us. A volcano doesn't just start oozing and flowing automatically. There's this buildup that happens. I'm sensing there's a buildup that's happening within the kingdom of God. Is anyone else sensing there's a buildup that's happening? I think before his return, there's going to be this buildup, all right? The Bible says it says a couple things. It talks about how there's going to be a great outpouring of his spirit, all right? But it also says in the last days that many are going to fall away. So we have a choice to make, and that is, are we going to be part of the people who are part of the revival, part of the people who are part of bringing in the answer to the world who's looking desperately for answers, or are we going to be those who will fall away? Now, last week we talked about how the enemy opposes us, and we need a level of determination in order to stay there. Now, the determination isn't just works. It's something that happens within your mind and your heart that says, you know what? I am going to put forth my best effort in order to be a world changer. I'm going to put forth my best effort to be a servant that can be used by God. And so, you know, it's a little overwhelming at times. You know, we think of these eruptions as far as devastating, and it changes the landscape of things. It does. But it also gives us new building ground. I want you to understand something. There are some things in your life that are beyond your control. How many of you would say, yep, that's me? There are some things that are so beyond my control, it brings a great level of even potential anxiety to me. It brings me to the point to where I say, why cannot my best efforts be good enough? And then we get to this point, we say, Lord, I can see, I can't do anything about this. I've tried and I've tried. You tried to get through to that loved one about how you want to care for them and how they should make right choices in their life and how they ought to accept Jesus Christ. And it seems like they just keep putting up their hand and pushing you back. You need a miracle, don't you? Every single person who comes to know the Lord, it's a miracle event. Because guess what? There's this hard crust on all of us. And it isn't until the Spirit permeates and get past all that outer area and deposits something special in us that we erupt, that we come out and we have this breakthrough. When do we need a miracle? We need a miracle when the boss comes in. Not because he's going to give us more work to do, but because he's saying, I have no work for you to do. We need a miracle when it's the end of the month and the bills are behind and there's not enough in the checkbook. We need a miracle when our marriage is falling apart and communication has gone dead and you wonder whether or not you're going to make it. You need a miracle when the doctor comes in and says, I'm sorry, there's nothing more that we can do. The fact is, we need miracles all the time in our lives. Things that we can't do. Intervention by God and the creator of the universe, the one who made us, who can do even not just restorative types of miracles, but creative miracles. Like, really? I'm not seeing a bunch of those. When you read about miracles, you might have heard some stories of some people that just seems like, oh my goodness, that is so awesome. I believe in that. I've read about it in the Word, and yet I'm not seeing that happen in my life. Why? Why am I not seeing that happen in my life? Why doesn't God work that way? Can I tell you something? He wants to. He wants to work in our lives to give us a breakthrough. This subject matter that we're talking about, this fast that we're on, is only one part of it. It's like 50% fasting and denying ourselves, and the other 50% needs to be in prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is what will set the stage for the breakthrough to take place. The fasting demonstrates the determination that you have to say, Lord, not my way, but your way. Jesus fasted. His disciples fasted after he left. We find fasting is something that is important for us to do, but it isn't fasting. Once again, it's not bending God's arm and trying to get him to do something. It's not convincing him that you're so good, you're so spiritual, you're so high and lofty, that certainly he will not answer any of the prayer requests that you have. Fasting is literally emptying ourselves of the things that we think that we have need of, and most basically food. How many of you think you need food to live? You would be right. But when you step into the supernatural zone, you're asking for him to do something that could not otherwise be done in the natural. The fasting literally says, Lord, not only do I not like this, but I need food. And he says, yes, but more than food, you need me. When Jesus was having an occasion with the disciples on one occasion, and he hadn't had nothing to eat or to drink, and they came up to him, and he's getting ready to do a miracle, and he talks about, you know, I have need of they said, well, don't you need something to drink? He said, I've got something to drink. I've had it from the Father, and he is the well, right? And they're like, well, we don't see anyone. No one's been here to give you anything. He says, but he feeds me. He gives me what I have need of. That's where we want to go. Can I tell you, it's really hard to break out of the realm of the natural to step into the supernatural? Yeah, I can tell you that. Do you know what it takes to do that? Do you know what it takes to move from just walking around to the beat of the ordinary drums that are happening in this world over and over again, and just hearing them and saying, this is the natural, this is what I have to deal with. I've got bills, I've got kids, I've got spouse, I've got job, I've got school, whatever it is you have, and those are the real things that are also happening, but something else is real, and it's called the supernatural realm. We're going to look at a story about a blind man that Jesus healed. I made reference to him last week, and the Lord just kind of just hunkered that down in my spirit. So let's unpack this a little bit more. This man was a man who was blind. In Luke chapter 18, there on the screen, you could see the text that we have here. Let's go ahead and read this. It says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening, and they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing this way. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see, he replied. Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. 5 types of prayer that will bring breakthrough. Got your pens, write them down. First of all, passionate prayer. Passionate prayer. I'm not talking about romantic passion, but kind of has the same energy behind it. Put your whole heart into it type of passionate prayer. When you pray with an intensity, when you pray with a feeling, when you pray with urgency. Have you noticed when your kids ask for things, they don't always ask for what they really want? They don't say what they really want. They kind of get around. If you ask a kid what they want for Christmas, oh my goodness, you can come up with a list a mile long of things, right? But what do they really want? It's when they say that. But what I really want is this. And the tone kind of changes. And you recognize in the midst of all of that list, of all of the things that are on there, there's one thing that really makes a difference and is important to that person. And you know that by the tone. You know that by the passion that the child is speaking in. As a parent, you've learned to listen for the tone of the voice. Well, God is our parent. He is our loving Father, and he listens for the tone of your voice. And some things you say, you don't really want that badly. How do we know? How does he know? Because of the passion. You don't even want them enough sometimes to pray twice. We need to be more passionate. It says here in Luke 18:35 that Jesus approached Jericho. The blind man was sitting by the roadside, and he was begging. The next slide, please. And he said, he called out. He was passionate. In one place it says he cried out. Another place it says he shouted. You know, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted. He shouted. He was passionate. The first problem that we have is in prayer is that we say this, I have it, you know, we do this thing called lip service. Anyone know what lip service is? Lip service is you're knowing what to say because it's the right thing to say it, but you lack the passion behind it in order to carry it out. It's when you're in front of someone and you want to impress them. It's when you pray, but your heart's not in it. Your mouth is, your words are, the words are coming out of your mouth, but you don't really feel it. And there's been times when I've told the body, because I've seen it happen throughout the years in ministry, that people, when I say, will you pray for your brother, or your sister, and we'll pray a prayer, but sometimes that prayer is just, it goes out and goes boom. Now, it isn't because you're unloving. It isn't because you totally don't care. It's because within you, there's not sometimes that passion. Within me, sometimes there's not that passion. And we may not know enough about the situation. We may not be experiencing what they're experiencing. But I say this. I say one of the ways it helps me to pray for people with the right passion is I pray as if I would want them to pray for me. And I'll tell you that. I'll say, pray for them like you would want to be prayed for. Be so convincing in your prayer for who you're praying for that they laugh from your presence knowing that those people have touched the very throne room of God. Come on, we know what some of the vain repetitions are that we've said before. Bless the gift and the giver. Okay, I'm going to make some statements here. And you've said these things. I've said these things, all right? I'm not saying that every single time you say it that there's not meaning behind it, that there's not passion behind it. But if it is the same go-to thing every single time that you pray, then how about you evaluating yourself as to whether or not it's passionate or it's filler words? Because sometimes I've said, bless the gift and the giver. Sometimes I've said, maybe over and over again, bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies. Help us have a great day. God bless America. You see, the thing is, the longer that you're a Christian, the easier it is for you to give this lip service. You've all been in a hurry when you sat down at the dinner table and you said, all right, let's pray. And you're thinking, that person prayed quick. Oh, you did a great job. You wasn't like great grandma or someone that prayed for the missionaries and everybody else, you know. I mean, you just got it done. You dealt with it. Now, I know there's extremes. You know there's extremes. But we also know when we approach him at certain times and we're lacking the passion. Could it be that we demonstrate to our kids, even with the meals that we have at times, like we're not really thinking that we're doing something out of a duty? That we're afraid that we're going to choke on the food unless we ask the Lord to bless it first? How about taking, and here's something for you, all right? I've suggested this before. Don't pray at the beginning, but pray at the end. But pray with meaning, and after your stomach is full and after you sat there, you have this realization, and now, Lord, I want to tell you, thank you for giving this to us. Thank you that we can sit here and we can laugh and we can enjoy this. I mean, I think that, you know, rather than worrying about choking, it's much more important to be appreciative, right? And be passionate about what's taking place. Just a little thing that I think that we can do. You see, sometimes I think we make the mistake and we're like this little boy who one night when they were getting ready to pray said this, said, let's join hands, the father said. And the little boy said, Daddy, can I be the one tonight to talk to our plates? That's literally what he thought was taking place. When you don't pray with feeling, may I suggest to us that we're not being honest with God? Well, he knows all things. Isn't it better to take time? Really, how quick do we have to sit and eat the most delightful foods? I mean, we can't wait just a few moments, or we can't get it to the end. I'm just saying it needs to be thought through. Jeremiah 29:13 says, God says, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you pray with feeling. When you fast with feeling, when you realize I'm denying myself of my social media, or I'm denying myself of some recreational event that I enjoy, or some food. Listen, There's some people that think that there's some things in life you just can't do without. You know what I can't do without? I can't do without His presence. You see, when you get to the place and you realize that He is everything, then the song, when you sing it and you say, this is the air I breathe, and you mean it, and you mean it, your devotional time won't be a duty for you. You won't be so quick to check it off the list. You will seriously say, Lord, I want to know You today. And He says, guess what? You'll find Me when you seek Me with all your passionate heart. Amen? You see, sometimes we make the mistake and we say, well, it's okay. I shared a little commercial with you last week verbally, but I want you to see one here now. Go ahead and roll that if you would. Make sure the sound's up, please.
Have you ever worked with Dr. Francis?
Oh, yeah. He's okay.
Just okay?
Guess who just got reinstated?
Well, not officially. Nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out.
I'll see you in there.
Just okay is not okay.
Yikes! Is it okay? Is your relationship with the Lord okay? Or is it like great? Is it something that you're just like, my goodness, you know, I'm convinced, I'm passionate that who I am talking to right now is hearing me. You see, half-hearted praying doesn't cut it. It's better to have a heart without words in prayer than it is to have words without heart. Amen? Sometimes the most spiritual prayer you can pray is this. There's passion in that, because He knows what you have need of even before you ask it. Guess what? He sees the sincerity in that, and there's someone looking at you and saying, oh, how childish. That's all the prayer that you can come up with. I mean, I've talked with some individuals who don't want to pray in front of other people because they're intimidated because of how fluent that they are, how they're able to pray. I can't pray like them. Nothing wrong with them praying eloquently when they're praying passionately. I could name some names of some people here, but some of you are thinking about some people right now that you've been intimidated. You're like, I don't want to pray when they've just prayed. I mean, I'm going to sound like a child. Only thing I have to say is help. If it's passionate, then guess what? It gets through. I want to tell you something. God wants you to learn how to pray, but He has a tool that teaches us how to pray. Does anyone know what it is? Well, that's one of them. It's a four-letter word, and it's called pain. You don't like it. I don't like it. But there's nothing that gets you praying faster or more passionately than when you have pain. I can remember the very first time Pastor Aiken had me speak when he was the pastor over Otisville. And I never went to his church. I grew up on the other side of town. I was a college student, and one time he asked me to preach, and I came up, and I was sick. I was visiting from Florida, and we'd scheduled it, and he was going to give me an opportunity to speak, and I was sick. I'll tell you what, this moment of breakthrough just sticks in my mind, because I was just like thinking in the natural. I'm like, what am I going to do here? I came up here, you know, it's all part of it, what I'm here for. I'm barking, I'm coughing, I feel feverish and achy. I'm just like, oh my goodness. And I remember being in my mom and dad's house, and I remember the bedroom down the long hallway that was there, and I'm up on my hands and knees, curled up in a ball like this, and I'm just crying out to God, You've got to do something here. And I'm sitting there thinking in the natural, I've got to get some sleep. I can't keep praying throughout the whole night, or else I'm not going to be any good at all. And the Spirit of God came in and says, listen, when are you going to quit relying upon the natural and just go ahead and trust Me? No, but Lord, I'm still feeling horrible. He says, don't worry about it. And I prayed through, and I don't think I slept much all that night. I'm just like, and I came in, and my voice, I sounded like I was deep. I was like a Wolfman Jack. Some of you know him, all right? All right, yeah, all right. And I was like, oh, my goodness. And so, sometimes when you speak, it's nice when your voice sounds all kind of like rawly there, and it's, profound and things. But the thing is, it wasn't my voice that made a difference in that service. It wasn't how I felt or didn't feel. It probably wasn't even what I had to say. It was about the passion that I had and trusting in him to be able to take over where I couldn't. The problem is that when we've learned how to pray in pain, pain motivates us. I mean, it'll take a person who's lukewarm before they find out the news of something tragic happening in their family, whether it be something happening to the kids or something happening in their marriage, something happening at their job, that pain. The guy in the foxhole who cries out, God, get me out of here, that person's serious. They're passionate, right? The problem we have is when the pain leaves, sometimes so does the passion. And that's not a condition for breakthrough. So in your pain, embrace it. In your calmness, stir yourself up. Second thing is this, the second condition, second type of prayer is this, persistent prayer. Keep on praying until something happens. Push. Pray until something happens. Push. Say push. Be persistent. Persistent prayer. We find this in our text, and we read it here, and we see this man. He says, he called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He was passionate. He cried out. He shouted out. And this, it says, he shouted all the more. Try to shut him down, they did, but guess what? Not him. Why should I be persistent, you might say? Doesn't God hear me anyway? Doesn't he know what I have need of? Do I have to shout because he has to be waking up? No. But you have to shout because your persistency shows that you believe in him as the source. When you're not receiving things the way in which you want it, it shows and demonstrates that, guess what? You're going to trust in him regardless. You might feel like it's not your time, but there was a woman whom was there, approached Jesus in his ministry time, and she was a Canaanite woman. And you find this occasion in Matthew chapter 15. And it says, this Canaanite woman from a vicinity came out. She's crying out to him and saying, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Just like this blind man, my daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. And Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Just like the man, just like Bartimaeus here, she doesn't stop. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And the woman came and knelt before him, Lord, help me. There it is. What? Help me, the passion, but the persistency. And he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Now, I have no time to go into all of the application of all those things, but let me tell you that God is not an unloving God. It's about timing, and it's also persistency. And then you see what happens here. And he says in verse 28, then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted, and her daughter was healed from that very hour. She was persistent. You don't have to worry about nagging God. Not when you come with faith. That's one of our next points. But I say, God says, if I love you enough to send Christ on the cross, I certainly care about your needs. I certainly will help you through the things that's going on in your life. He is persistent. How about us being true disciples of him, followers of him, and being persistent like he's persistent, right? The Israelites didn't realize that the reason they were out in the wilderness wasn't just because God couldn't bring them into the promised land sooner. There was a preparation that was going on. Sometimes in your waiting, there's a preparation that's going on. There's something that needs to happen within you so that you can be able to say, it wasn't me, it was him. And sometimes the enemy, you need to understand, what the enemy is after is your faith. And he says it considered pure joy when you endure all types of trials. Well, why? Because it proves that you have sincere faith when you don't give up. When it doesn't happen, it doesn't spelled out, worked out the same way in which you wanted to right away. That you still say, this one thing I know, that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is a loving Father. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the King of Kings. He has set me free. What he accomplished on the cross, it is enough for me. Some people don't realize it. They don't pass the test. I know that many of us have felt over and over again, we want to say to the Lord, why didn't you get here sooner? Why didn't you turn this around? Some people have argued and prayed, God, I need a financial turnaround in my life. I'm going under. He said, Lord, what, you know, any time now. And he says, all right, how about this? How about you have the realization I've given you some financial principles that are found in the Word of God? And I have a question for you. When are you going to start obeying them? When are you going to start saying it's all in? I want to work in your life, but you've got to obey those principles first. Some people might see that as a works thing, but for God, it's a test thing. It's a trust thing. Do you trust me, he says. Because if you do, you'll be persistent even when things don't go the way in which you want them to. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says this, don't be weary in prayer, keep at it. Watch for God's answers. Amen? Don't quit. You know, if you come up to my door and visit me, and you know that I'm home, and you knock on the door once, you don't just walk away. Right? You knock back again, and you keep knocking until you're like, I know you're in there! Do you realize that you could say that with God? I know you're there. Wow. I know you're there. I know you're with me. I know you want to work all things together for my good. I know. What do you know? That's the thing. What do you know? Because when you know some things, you can cast down those things that try to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Amen? Precise prayers. What does it mean to be precise? Specific. Not to be vague. You tell God exactly what you want in living color. I mean, some people say, well, when you pray, God bless America, and they're done. Can I tell you something? That alone, if it's a salutation, that's one thing. But if it's in a prayer, and that's what you're praying, oh, Lord, I pray that you just begin to bless America. Okay, that's the starting point. Well, what else do you want him to do? What specifically, what are you wanting to do in America? What specifically do you want him to do in your family? What specifically do you want him to do at your job? What needs to happen? We see here, Jesus stopped in our text. Go ahead and show me that screen, on the screen. In order that the blind man be brought to him, and when he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? The next slide, please. He answered, I want to see you. I want to see, he says. I want to see. He replied, what do you want me to do? He knew exactly what he wanted, right? I want to see. And some might say, well, that's not really profound. But I'm telling you what, there are some people that I could ask, what do you want God to do for you today? And there's not much that comes to mind. Not specific. It's just general. Give me a good job. Keep my family safe. Make my marriage strong. How about praying, Lord, I realize that I'm an irritant to my wife at times. I realize that I have failed in some of the things that I said I was going to do, and I need your help at being a better husband. I recognize that I have not led the way that I need to in couple prayers and devotions. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would put a passion in my heart for my kids. You see what I'm saying? It's not, you start to deal with what, now you notice I didn't pray for her yet. Started with me. There are some things that happen or don't happen because we just don't ask for it. James 4:2 says, the reason you don't have what you want is because you don't ask God for it. You have not because you ask not. That's scripture. My wife likes that one. She asks for a lot. There's a story about a guy who died and went to heaven, and he saw this warehouse, and all over this warehouse were these beautiful things and these gifts that were there, and there was job opportunities, there was a happy family life situation, there was marriage partners, financial stability, cars and boats and all kinds of things. And he asked the angel, he said, what's this? The angel said, well, there's a tag in every one of these items, and every tag says the same thing. And went over and looked at the tag, a beautiful car. And it said, never asked for. Never asked for. Some of you, I know, because I've had conversations with you, are sitting in this room and you've asked for God to do certain things. And it just hasn't come out and worked out the way in which you wanted it to. And you're in that journey. And the devil's tried to combat you and tell you, see, God doesn't care. But you've come through it. And even after you come through it, sometimes the enemy still tries to convince you that after he answers, it's like, oh my goodness, I don't want to go through this again. It's not about that individual fight. It's about what you will have in a relationship with the Lord long after this. Praise team, I want you to come. I'm out of time. You see, the reason that we're vague in our prayers, the reason that we'll say bless everybody and that kind of stuff is because really we need to understand what we are. Sometimes we're just lazy. Right? I said we're lazy. Sometimes it takes a little bit of work to put those things down. When we say, God bless my family, do we realize that sometimes God's got to bring some things into your family's life that looks like a problem? You can't just say, God bless my family. There's a whole lot of other prayers that need to be prayed along with that. And Lord, as they're going through this, as they're experiencing this difficulty, as they are, you know, they would not reject you. God, what you begin to pray specifically. But it takes self-examination. It takes you a place to where you say, you know what? I've got to get to this point where I say, Lord, you were specific enough in creating me. When I begin to pray for other people, that's why intercessors, it's amazing. I do pray with some people, and it does become a little intimidating when those intercessors, they have the gift of intercession. It's amazing. But it shouldn't stop us from asking the Lord about how to be specific in praying for people. Amen? I gave you those cards, which I have none left, but the breakthrough cards, and we'll print some more. Because I think one of the ways you can be intentional, one of the ways you could be specific is writing some things down. Now on that card is five areas, and you can write it down. I want you to take the time to do that. I want to tell you, God will speak to you. He'll give you visions, but we won't see those things happen until we begin to write them down. He says, make it plain, write it down. I'm just going to give you these 2 points. I'm not going to preach into them, but I want you to just know that the other part is this. Be positive in your prayers. Be positive. The man, he had faith. Jesus said to the blind man, see, your faith has made you whole. I want to tell you something. People try to measure their faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you're not in the Word of God, you're obviously not going to have a lot of faith. But let me tell you, there's good news for you as well. You may have little faith, but you serve a big God. And you start with what you got, and you go there. Jesus wasn't afraid of the person who said, you know what, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. He was not ridiculed at all. He was positive. He believed. Mark 11, 24 says, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you will receive it, and it will be yours. I'm telling you, it's amazing. It's amazing what will happen. Last point is this, praise-filled prayer. Praise-filled prayer. Really? Yeah, we've seen what happened there. Go ahead and show me that scripture, please, if you would. It says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. What was he doing? Praising God. Oh, but hold it. He wasn't praying, Pastor. Actually, you know, I don't even recall that he got down on his hands and knees. I didn't see him bow his head. I didn't see him close his eyes. There's nothing you say. We're not even talking about prayer here. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. See, I'm talking about communication with God because that's what prayer is. You see, when you're in your situation, you don't have to sit there and stop everything, all right? That's important to stop everything. But I'm saying you got to fall down, in a sense, in your spirit, man, and say, I can't do anything else, and let your life be your prayer life. Amen. Praising God, following Jesus. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. You see, something can begin to happen for us as far as a church when we get to this point and we understand that, listen, am I passionate? We can answer these questions. Give me that last slide, please. Am I passionate? Am I persistent? Am I precise? Come on. Am I to this point where I'm positive? I'm positive that he hears me. I'm convinced that he's working everything together for my good. I'm not coming and praying to someone who doesn't hear me and doesn't want to do this, who is incapable. I am convinced that he's the one who's got the answer. And I want to tell everybody I can about it. Amen. Don't you want to do the same? Amen. Bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Father, we come to you right now. We're thankful for your desire to work in our midst and do things that we cannot do in our own abilities and our own strengths. We're asking you, God, to make us a people of prayer as we set in place the right conditions. Lord, I pray your Spirit wouldn't give up on us. Send your Spirit. The Spirit that lives within me, just spring up a well within my soul. Spring up, erupt within me. I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough so I can learn how to be more passionate, God, in my prayers. That I can be more persistent in my prayers. Precise in my prayers. Positive in my prayers. Oh, Lord, help me that I can become more praise-filled in my prayers. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're doing pretty good in one of those areas. Maybe all those areas, I don't know. But by the uplifted hand, everybody that is in here who's struggling with at least in one of those areas, you would raise your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, the Spirit of God is working in me, and he is telling me that I need to give that over to him. That prayer, that type of prayer needs to become evident in my life. Come on, by the uplifted hand, that's you. Lift up your hand right now in this place. Where you at? All across this place, we have a common denominator of a need. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you see these hands that are being raised right now. God, you see the determination within individuals. We realize the enemy is trying to oppose us, but no, not today. Not today. We're going to experience breakthrough. We lift up our hands and we say, God, give us. Give us, God, what is necessary to the ability. We have the desire. We have the determination, and we want it to be worked through in us, God. Make us, God, more passionate, I pray, as we remember and recall what passion has done for us in relationships in the past. How, Lord, when we went after you, and we didn't care what anybody thought, what a difference it made. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you stand to your feet in this place? There's a lot of hands that went up. I think a lot of people are serious. I think that the closer we get to Jesus' return, you're going to understand that we cannot continue to pay lip service to him. So this week, I want you to know that we are going to meet for prayer. And Esther gave the right announcement. We were scheduled to meet in the south prayer room. We're going to meet in the north prayer room. because it just is easier with not interrupting the Wednesday class that will take place there. So that's a change up, all right? And it was something that brought to me just before service that I didn't get to tell her. But at 6:30 every night, would you come just at least one night this week and pray with your pastor, pray with your church leaders, and say, God, we need you to work and move, not just in our church. That's not the general prayer we're going to pray. We're going to dig into it, amen? What do we need? You know what you need? Are you bold enough to ask him? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, I want to tell you something. He loves you. He's paid the price for you. There's no hoops to jump through. You're never going to be good enough in order to deserve the salvation that he's provided for you. But what can happen is that you can recognize how you've missed the mark and you need him to come in. He's waiting. He's waiting to come into your heart. His spirit will come and abide in you. And all you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I need you. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins and cleansing me from all unrighteousness. And if that's in your heart, I don't have to have you bow your head or close your eyes. You now need to begin to walk that out. And I want to help you to do that. I want you to come on up here and I want you to meet me. We're going to open up these altars. We're going to sing this closing song. And everybody who wants to know Jesus, who wants special prayer in your new journey or in your renewed journey, I want you to meet me right here in the center. And we're going to pray, amen, for you. We're going to sing this song together in closing. Spirit of God, move. Spirit of God, move. How many of you know that that's an awesome prayer song? Amen? Amen. Lead us, if you would, team.